and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. And if I haven't seen you already, Happy New Year. I'm not sure at what point you can stop saying Happy New Year. Whether there's a certain cut-off point. I think maybe if you haven't seen somebody, you know, I think the whole of January is up for grabs, isn't it, really, for saying Happy New Year. So we're here at the start of a new year, and at the start of a new term as well. And with this term, in our Sunday morning services, we're going to be looking at the theme of growth. The reason that we're going to be doing that is because you may have heard that some of us have been on a conference called Leading Your Church into Growth. And you might have heard of this, and you might have thought, what is this about? What has it got to do with us? Maybe you're thinking, well, that seems a bit strange. What does it mean to lead your church into growth? Surely God grows the church, doesn't he? And actually, you'd be right, because he does. In fact, that's one of the first things that we were told at this conference. And it's right there in Scripture, isn't it? The fact that we are to go and make disciples and that God will grow his church. And the thing about this theme of growth, as we're going to be exploring it over the next few weeks up until Easter, and as we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about growth and what Jesus says about growth, is that actually it might not be what you originally think. Because it's often like that in the kingdom, isn't it? We find that things are a bit upside down, a bit topsy and turvy. And actually in weakness, we find our strength. And all those kind of themes that go on. So this is kingdom growth that we're going to be talking about. So leading your church into growth, or LISIG, this program isn't going to be the magic solution that suddenly means our church is overflowing with people. It's not, in fact, going to tell us how to grow our church. I think leading your church into growth is going to help us do three particular things. It's going to help us reflect on where we're at now as a church, what we really value about St. Andrew's, what you love about this church, why you're here, why you're passionate about this church and being here, why you're passionate about Jesus. Secondly, it's going to help us try and listen and discern where God wants to take us, how God wants to lead us forward. And then thirdly, it's going to help us make a plan for how do we make that journey towards where God wants us to be. That's what leading your church into growth is about. It's not some program that we follow. Leading your church into growth doesn't tell us how to grow it, because leading your church into growth is for churches that are traditional, that are middle of the road, that are off the wall. It's for all these. It's got no one particular program. Rather, it's about what does Scripture say about growth? What does God want to do here among us? So within this series, particularly next Sunday is an important Sunday, we're having a 10 a.m. joint service. So there's no 9 a.m. service, there's no 10:45 service, we're having a 10 a.m. service. And that's going to be our Leading Your Church into Growth Sunday. So we're all going to be looking at some of the material that the four of us who went on the conference looked at. And together we're going to be asking that question, those questions. What do we value about St. Andrew's? Where do we feel God is calling us? And how are we going to get there? We're going to be looking at those things. And then on the 29th of January, Robin Gamble is going to be our guest speaker at both services. Robin Gamble is the man who set up Leading Your Church into Growth. He's from Bradford and he works at a church in Bradford, and he's going to come and speak to us. He's a very entertaining speaker, and I'm sure we'll get a lot from him. And hopefully through hearing Robin, you'll understand a bit more about the heart behind leading your church into growth. You might feel that you understand it a little bit better. So we're going to be on a journey this term. It's going to be helping us to think about those things, thinking about where God is calling us. And I think it's such great timing. It's such great timing, as I am still pretty new. The other day I was thinking, oh, I've been here ages, and then I realized, actually, I've only been here a few months. It's still very new. And this is a whole new chapter for us. You know, Francis was here for 16 years. We've got that great legacy. And even before that, and the, you know, almost 100 years, was it over 100 years of people praying in this place. And those prayers and those faithful people and the mission that's been going on in this community and beyond. And we're part of that now, aren't we? And we're part of the next chapter. And so we really need to hear from God about where we're going. So this theme of growth, and of course, growing is a sign of life. Living things grow, don't they? Living things grow. They grow if they have the right conditions. So plants are the obvious example, aren't they? If they have the right soil, if they have water, if they have the right amount of light, if they're not too warm or too cold, if they have the right conditions, then they grow and they thrive. So to this morning's reading, our first reading on this theme, is not about growth directly, but what we find is that we find God's people are in the wilderness. This is the context for this morning's reading. They are searching for the promised land. They have been freed from slavery in Egypt. Moses, God has sent Moses to set his people free. And this is a huge theme throughout Scripture, that God comes to set people free. It's a theme that's picked up by Jesus when he begins his ministry, that those who are in prison shall be set free, that God, that Jesus came to set people free. And of course, we see it all the way through Jesus' death and resurrection, that through that we are set free. So they're looking for the promised land, and there's lots of complaining and lots of grumbling going on with God's people. First of all, they're camping, so that's a bit rough. You know, they're moving from place to place. There isn't enough food, and now they find that there isn't even enough water for them. So things are bad, but things are about to get a whole lot worse, because here come the Amalekites. The Amalekites are a really nasty bunch of people. They're a tribe that love to kill and to steal, and they are savage and they are violent. They spot this weak tribe of people that are wandering around in the desert. They were previously slaves, so they're quite weak. They haven't got enough food or enough water, and the Amalekites think, let's get them. They're a weak tribe. Let's go and get them. So here they come, and Moses makes a decision. Moses decides to delegate. We read, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So here comes this army, and Moses says, okay, you go and fight them, and I'll just be up on the hill holding a stick. It doesn't sound very fair, does it? You know, as this terrible army comes in into the picture, that he thinks, oh, I'll just go and stand on that hill, you go and fight. The amazing thing is that Joshua does it. Because he's kind of, it feels a bit like he's dodging, you know, the real issue here. Actually, shouldn't Moses be down there fighting too? What's he doing up on a hill? It would be a bit like if at home, you know, if our house was a mess, and I said to Beck, my wife, I said, okay, we need to dust and to hoover, we need to clean all the toilets and the bathroom. Could you, if you get on with that, I'll sit on the sofa and I'll hold the remote. Is that okay? I don't think that would go down very well. But Moses says this to Joshua, and Joshua does it. I wonder why. It must be because Joshua trusts Moses as a leader. Even though actually it doesn't sound like it's going to make any sense, he trusts him as a leader. And then we find that whenever Moses holds up his arms and holds up this staff, this stick, the Israelites are winning. And then whenever he lowers it down, they're losing again. It's quite a bizarre, almost comical thing. You can imagine him sort of testing it, like, oh, winning, winning, oh, losing, winning, losing. And so, of course, he needs to keep his arms up because they're this small tribe being attacked by this devastatingly violent tribe, and he needs to keep his arms up. But, of course, he gets tired. So what do? Well, they find him a chair. Well, they find him a rock to sit on so he can sit down, so he can keep his arms up. But then his arms are getting tired, so two of them come along and they hold up his arms. And it's just this fantastic picture of support and of teamwork, isn't it? Moses is there. They know that when Moses raises arms, when that stick is in the air, God is at work. When Moses is doing that, God is at work. And they know that that's a really important thing, to see God at work. So let's get alongside Moses. Let's help him lift up his arm, because he can't do this in his own strength. So we'll hold his arms up. And they're working together. You've got Joshua and the army down there fighting for their lives. And you've got Moses up on the hill with his arms stretched up, getting tired, with these other people holding his arms up. It's such a fantastic picture of teamwork and of support. It's God's people hearing from God and working together for God's purposes. God's people hearing from God and working together for God's purposes. And they're the two things I want to talk about this morning. It's really important in this season that we're in as a church that we hear from God. That we don't just go with the latest idea or another good idea or the same old or something new just for the sake of it. It's really important that we hear from God. And how do we do that? Well, we do that, of course, through prayer, don't we? We do that by seeking God in prayer, by listening, not just talking to God with the things that we want. Please grow our church. Please grow our church. Please help us. But also listening. God, what do you want to do with us? Do you want us just to wait on you? Do you want us to move? Do you want us to reach out? Do you want us to do something new? We need to listen to God. I've been really enjoying our Wednesday morning prayer meetings that we have here in the Narthex at 9:30 on a Wednesday morning, where we gather together, a small group of us, and we pray for the world, yes, but we also pray for the church and for the local community, and we listen to God. It's so important that we listen to God. And of course, Scripture, we hear God through Scripture. That's why we have it at the center of our services every week. Reading Scripture, digging into Scripture, thinking about what it means, and then in small groups and at home on your own, reading Scripture and saying, God, what are you saying to me? I bought myself a Christmas present this year, and it's one of those Bibles that has big margins down the side so that you can write notes in it. And I'm going through the whole Bible, and I'm making notes. So I'm not just reading it, I'm thinking, God, what are you saying? What does this say to me now? You know, some of the Old Testament passages are so obscure, aren't they, and so bizarre. And I'm thinking, God, but actually God can speak through that. He speaks through these ancient stories, through these poems, through these song words that we find in the Scripture, through these difficult things that human beings have been through. God can speak, and we need to listen to God. And then in worship, when we gather to worship, God speaks. And I'd love for us to become better and more practiced at being ready to hear God as we gather to worship. So if while we're worshiping or while we're getting ready for a service or whatever point, if you hear God speak, please do come and speak to me. You know, come and say to me during a song or at the end of the service or whenever, say, I think God is saying this. Share it with others, because we need together to hear from God. We also hear from God in quite unexpected ways. In ways that are maybe outside of what we might expect, outside of prayer times or reading the Bible or being together for worship. And we need to be open for that too. We could be doing anything, through any kind of situation, through the worst kind of situations, God can speak to us. So that's the first thing, hearing from God. Secondly, working together. Our culture tries to tell us that we need to stand on our own two feet. That independence is really important, that you need to be your own person, you need to stand on your own two feet. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what Jesus shows us. God, first of all, is Trinity. Right from the beginning, I was reading Genesis 1 the other day, where it says, let us make man in our own image. Us. God is not on his own, thinking, oh, I need some people, I'm a bit lonely. God is Trinity. God is relationship right from the beginning. Relationship is so important. Working together is so important. And then God, of course, made us to know him. He made us for relationship with him. We're not meant to be independent. We're meant to be interdependent. We need God. We need others. Moses needs Joshua and Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. Jesus gathered his disciples, and then when he sent them out not on their own, but in twos. And we find that Paul, in his ministry, has Timothy alongside him and others. We need each other. So it's about support, and it's about teamwork. But this isn't just about what goes on in the church building. This is not a recruitment drive to get people onto more rotas. I'm sure we have enough of that. You may have heard it said that church is often likened to a football match. 22 people needing a rest, watched by thousands needing exercise. That's often what people say. It's like 5% of the people in the church doing 95% of the work. And it can feel like that a lot of the time. But the problem with this picture is that it implies that those that we see at the front of church, those that we see on the PCC that are doing these things around the church, that they are doing the work of the church. That only those people that we see at the front, or only those people on the PCC, they're the ones that are doing the church work. But actually, the work of the church is not just the stuff that happens here on a Sunday morning, or that happens in and around this building. The work of the church is us out there in the world, the rest of the week, the rest of the time. If we were going to use the football analogy, then maybe this, as we gather together on a Sunday morning and other times, maybe that's the team canteen, you know, that's where we come and we get fed. Or maybe it's the team room where we talk tactics and we support one another, we can encourage each other, so we can then get out there on the field. Or maybe it's the bar. You know, it's a team bar where we come together and we socialize and we have fun and we have a drink and we get refreshed so that we can go out there. But the match is played out there in the world, not here in our church building. We are gathered here in a church building so that we can be the church out in the world. We're gathered here in the church building so that we can be the church out there in the world. Because that's where we're needed. That's where God's influence and God's kingdom will come. In this morning's passage, we see what support looks like. Loving and supporting one another is so vitally important. But before we get on to planning for growth and making exciting plans, we need to be clear about this one value, this one central value. As a church, we need to love and support each other. It's not complicated what God is calling us to. Jesus makes it really clear. We are to love God with everything that we have, and we are to love others. That's what we need to do. If you're wondering, oh, what is my calling? You know, what does God want me to do? He wants you to love him with everything you have and to love others. And if you're wondering who those others are, they're the people that you interact with at home, at work, in church, wherever you are. We are to love God with everything we have and to love others. That's what it comes down to. That's the most important thing. And no matter where we get to with our plans for the future, that's what we need to remember. That's what we're about. That's who we are as God's people. So as we move forward as a church, let us hear from God. Let us listen well. And let us remember that we need to love and support each other. Amen.